Happy New Year, if I haven't said it to you already. Happy New Year to you. Doesn't seem long, does it, since we had the long build-up to Christmas? I know in Haskins, I think it starts about August or September. You kind of avoid the place for months because you don't want to be confronted with Christmas trees and... they're selling them cheap now. But the build-up is so long, isn't it? And then the moment comes, and almost in a flash, it's gone. And then you come in towards the new year. And, of course, in between that, you have that moment where you have to write your thank you letters. I don't know how good you are at writing the thank you letters and making sure you say thank you for the right gift to the right person. And don't get yourself in a tiz over that. Thank you letters, an important part. I remember when I was a child, you don't have to worry about it when you're very young, do you? Because they all come from Santa, after all. But then you get to the point where you have to start saying thank you to those that have given you particular gifts. You know that there's a letter in the New Testament which is a thank you letter. It's written by the Apostle Paul. It wasn't written at Christmas. That didn't exist in those days. Nor was it written on the occasion of his birthday. I don't know whether they actually celebrated birthdays back in Paul's day or for him personally. This was a letter, a thank you letter, that he wrote from prison. He was in prison, probably in Rome, from the way he describes it in the letter, but he wrote this letter of thanks. And the reason he wrote it was because some of his friends remembered where he was and thought about him. And although they lived probably 1,000 miles away, they sent gifts to him, sending it by the hands of one of their own people, travel all the way over the land and sea to take this gift to Paul. You find yourself thinking, well, what about all the others? All the churches that he planted, all the people that he knew, why didn't any of them think of him? Maybe typical of so easy, isn't it, that you think, well, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will remember to send something to him. Or maybe for others, they just thought, well, you know, he can perform a miracle. Maybe he doesn't need our gifts. Perhaps others just simply didn't think. But there was this one church, one which he had planted many years before. In fact, the very first church planted in Europe, planted by the Apostle Paul, way up there in the northeast coast of what is now Greece, what was then Macedonia, in the town of Philippi, a town founded as a place for veterans of the Roman army to retire to, a bit like the Bournemouth of northern Greece. And that church that Paul had planted had been so blessed, but compared to all the other churches, they were the ones that thought of Paul when he was now in prison in Rome. And so they sent aid to him, perhaps clothes, perhaps resources financially particularly, so that he could get the things that he needed in prison in Rome. And they sent it by the hands of a man called Epaphroditus, and he was sent to carry this gift, almost lost his life on the journey. It must have been quite an arduous journey that he took this aid down to Paul in prison. And Paul writes this thank you letter, Philippians. It's the only one in the New Testament that's written for that reason. This is what he says towards the end of the letter. He says, it was good for you to share to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I've received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. What a thank you letter. What words for Paul to write to these Christians, these people in Philippi, who had actually thought about him, taken the time to think about him and send him things to help him in his time of need. But while Paul was there in prison in Rome, believing and knowing, in fact, we do know it was the case that after his period of imprisonment there, he would carry on his work of ministry and mission. As he was there in prison, he took time to take stock of his life and to think about what were his goals, what were his ambitions for the future, what was he really wanting to achieve. And he tells us in this letter, well, he tells the Philippians, I'm sure he never would have dreamed that 2,000 years later we'd be reading his personal thank you letter to the Christians in Philippi. But this is what he says in chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Paul's stock take of his life while he was in prison and before God led him on to the next phase of his ministry. You know, New Year is a good time to take stock of our lives, to look back on 2023 and to look ahead to 2024. For Paul, his decision was to focus on what mattered most for him. In other words, not the stuff so much of this life, but the more important thing, the prize he describes as the upward, the heavenward call of God in Christ Jesus. If you like, it's all about ambition. And I guess that's the question for you and for me today. What are your ambitions for 2024 and beyond? The focus in the news this week, of course, has all been around a 16-year-old darts player and his incredible achievement, almost winning the world championship. But he has the ambition, and there's little doubt, I think, in any of our minds, he will get there. He will win that prize for him. It's been his ambition, if you saw those pictures, ever since he was able to stand to throw a dart at a dartboard. But it's there, isn't it, in all sports, in all areas of sport and activity. You think of young tennis champions like Emma Raducanu. You think of people who are in football, in cricket, in swimming, in boxing, in rugby, any other sports that people are passionate about. They have their goal, they have their ambition, they have a prize that they're striving towards. Of course, this year, perhaps slightly unfortunately, the focus will also be on other people who have a prize in mind. One thinks of Sir Sama, or that dearly beloved man across the pond, whose name shall be left unspoken. It's going to be a year of elections, a year of ambitions, a year of people determined to win a particular prize. What happens? We'll tell you on 31st of December 24, when we know the outcome. It's good to have ambitions. It's good to have goals. It's good to have them for your work. It's good to have them for your family. It's good to have them for financial security, for your marriage, for your home life. Ambitions are good. But for Paul, there is a higher prize. He describes it. He says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. In other words, a higher prize, a higher goal, a greater ambition. And I guess the question Paul is asking of the Philippians, and through them, he's asking of you and me 2,000 years later, is that your ambition today? To take hold of that for which Christ took hold of you. There's an old missionary leader and teacher many years ago who wrote a book about the call to missions, and the title of his book captures it so perfectly. The title is Give Up Your Small Ambitions. Give up your small ambitions. have a higher prize, a greater goal. The prize, he says, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. But you know, in this letter, Paul gives the Philippians the key to that happening in their lives, and I believe the key to it happening in our lives. He gives them the key to unlock the door to the prize, not a game show on TV, but the real prize. But you know, like any key, it turns two ways. You can use it to lock, or you can use it to unlock. So here's the question this morning. How is your memory? How good are you at remembering things? Some people are good, aren't they, at remembering names? Some people are good at geography. They remember where all the locations are. Some people are good at numbers. And some people show that in their mastership of chess or Sudoku, and they're able to prove their ability to remember things. So let me ask you the question this morning. How's your memory of 2023? How much do you remember of what happened in your life throughout the year of 2023? Well, however much you do remember, the message of Paul to you is this: forget it. Forget it. What does he say? Forgetting what lies behind. You ask yourself, will it help? Yes, it will. Why does forgetting help as you face the future? The reality is, of course, you can't change what happened in 2023. It's gone. It's history. You can't change what happened. If you made mistakes, and I'm sure all of us made plenty of mistakes in 2023, there's absolutely nothing you can do to go back and change what happened. What we do need to do, of course, if we've made mistakes, as we will have done, is to learn from those mistakes and be determined not to repeat them, not to do the same thing again in 2024. But you can't go back and change what happened. You need to simply determine you won't repeat it. But you don't need to be trapped by the mistakes you made in 2023. It's good as well to look back on our achievements, and you may well think of all the things you are so thankful for, proud of, things that happened in 2023, and you want to celebrate those. You can, and it's good to celebrate them, but you can't live on them. Forgetting what lies behind. Last week, Pastor Mark shared a powerful message on the theme from Psalm 51, all centered around David's experience of failure, particularly, of course, specifically about his sin with Bathsheba, the damage he did to her life, and of course the death of her husband in order to cover his sin. Psalm 51, a powerful psalm, David's personal testimony. But of course it's not just about his sin, it's about forgiveness. It's about God's forgiveness of him for his sin, and about the future that lies ahead of him if he learns the lesson from the past and is determined not to fail again, but to go on and serve God's purpose in his life. So Psalm 51 is about repentance, but it's also about being restored, about being renewed. For Paul, the key is all about letting go, turning the key and unlocking the door. So here's the question for us this morning. How good are you at letting go? Forgetting what lies behind. It's easy to say it, isn't it? How good are you at letting go? Do you tend to live on your past failures, poor decisions? Some people do. Go over it again and again in your mind. If only I hadn't done that. If I only hadn't made that particular mistake. All the time looking back, trying to go over it. How can I change what happened in the past? But the message here at the start of the new year is we need to forget what lies behind. So the question for you and for me is, do you need to let go of something that's holding you back? Something that happened, maybe not even last year, maybe many years ago, and it's still holding you captive to the past. You know, the word forgiveness literally means, the word in the original language of Greek means to release, to unlock, to open the door to freedom from what held you, from what held you in the past. Freedom, letting go in our lives. It's good to let go. But it's not just, of course, about release from our sins, our failures, our lack of achievement. It's also about release from what other people have done to you. People who've let you down, people who've caused you pain, people who've treated you unfairly. It's amazing, isn't it? Somehow we often think that our anger holds them to account. Somehow, if we can keep on stirring up the memory of that pain, somehow it'll impact them, it'll hold them to account. But of course, it doesn't do that at all. We think somehow if we just keep re-energizing that memory, it'll hurt them as we do that. But it doesn't, does it? It just locks the door to freedom. And we need to turn the key. We need to forget what lies behind and reach toward the future. The truth is, of course, while we're consumed with holding somebody responsible for what they've done to us, and we imagine we're holding them responsible, they may be blissfully unaware that you're doing that. You're not really holding them at all. You're simply trapping yourself. It's important to remember, isn't it, with forgiveness, that when we forgive somebody, we're not absolving them from what they've done. What we're doing is releasing the hold they have on us by turning the key and by putting the past behind us. Forgiving somebody doesn't absolve them for what they've done. They're still accountable for what they've done. If they have sinned against you, then they need to repent before God in order for them to know freedom. And of course, if what they've done is against the law of our society, then they're accountable to the society through the legal systems that we have for what they have done. Ultimately, only God can forgive them. When you forgive somebody for what they've done for you in the past, perhaps in this last year, you're not saying it doesn't matter. What you're saying is, I'm not going to be held by what happened to me. I'm going to close that door, and I'm going to open the door to freedom, to moving forward, and we allow God to deal with what happened to them. Let me ask you the question this morning. Do you need to forgive somebody who wronged you last year or maybe before? Do you need to forgive them? It's in your hands, the key. You can close that door and you can open the door to the future. Unlock the door to freedom. Paul knew what it was like to be locked into the past. In fact, he tells you earlier on in this letter how for so much of his life he was consumed by all his upbringing, his training and his past. And he lists in the chapter 3, he lists his pedigree, his credentials, if you like, his CV. He says all that he's achieved, how he was a student of the law, how he became a Pharisee, one of the leaders of the law, how he pursued righteousness on that basis, but he realized that he was living in the past. And then there was that incredible moment when he was on the road to Damascus and he saw that blinding light. And that light enabled him to realize that the key was in his hand. And he could close the door on the past and he could open the door on the future with Christ and all the freedom that he offered him. And that really, this day, the beginning of 2024, is the challenge to us. Can we do what Paul did, forgetting what lies behind? It's easier said than done, isn't it? It's an act of the will. It's an act of faith. It's a determined decision to say no to the past, to let it go, to close the door, forgetting what lies behind, straining toward what lies ahead. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me, to gain the prize, the heavenward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the challenge for you and for me today. Paul was in prison, literally in prison, and he took the opportunity to take stock of his life. The challenge for us at the beginning of this new year is to take a moment to take stock of our lives, reevaluate what our goals are, what our ambitions are, and if necessary, give up the small ambitions and grasp rather the greater ambition. Focus on the greater prize. Let go of the past. Forget it. Forgetting what lies behind. Put it behind you. Turn the key in the lock. Forgive those who wronged you, those who let you down, and open the door instead to a higher ambition. Choose to be different from the world around us with their limited ambitions. Set your goal on the prize, that upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I don't think Paul is suggesting for a moment that we abandon personal goals. It's good to have goals for yourself, for your family, for your career, for your hopes and dreams for the future. There's nothing wrong in those. Nor is he suggesting that we cultivate amnesia. It's not about forgetting what happened in the past. Unfortunately, you can't just hit the delete button and wipe out your former memories. They're still there. But what you're doing is saying, I've turned the key in the lock. I've locked the past away. And I've opened the door to the future, the freedom that is mine. And I've set myself, reset my goal on that upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Determined to break the hold that the past has on you and to step forward into the freedom that God promises to you. Paul's challenge to the Philippians, and through them, his challenge to you and to me, is to fix your eyes on the greater prize. What does he say? Take hold of that for which Christ took hold of you. Win the prize for which God is calling you heavenward in Christ Jesus. And I believe if we can do that in 2024, then it will truly be a happy and blessed and glorious and fulfilled new year in him. Let's pray together, shall we, as the team come back to lead us in our final song of worship. Lord, thank you that you've put the key in our hands, the key to close the door to 2023, to open the door to 2024, to forget, Lord, the things that would hold us back, pull us back, perhaps our failures, even our successes, and instead grasp the opportunity of a new day, a new year, new opportunities. Lord, help us to take that stock take, to reorganize our priorities and to reset our vision and reset our priority in you, to have the right ambition, the higher, greater ambition, and to set our eyes, our focus on the prize for which you call us heavenward in Christ Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.